Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Chandra. I can hear you. You can hear me, right?
Can hear you too. Yep.
Yay! Okay.
Is this? Oh, yes, it's on. All right, as been requested, I will now call this meeting of the
Recording in
Chan.
progress.
Everyone's rude. I will now call this meeting of the Champaign County Mental Health Board Wednesday, November 20th, 2024, 5:45 p.m. in the Shields Carter Room of the Brookings Administrative Building, Urbana, Illinois, to order. May I get a roll call, please?
Chris Miner.
Here.
Tony Nichols.
Here.
Joe Omosagie. Elaine Palencia.
Here.
Jen Straub.
Yes.
Jane Sprandl.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Here.
Molly McClay.
Present. All right. Next on the agenda, we have the approval of the agenda. And for brief discussion before a motion, we have a lot of business tonight that requires our action, including some very time-sensitive financial items. So I'm going to make a motion to amend the agenda to move a specific item that will take longer to discuss but doesn't need action to later in the agenda. So I will move to approve the agenda as amended with item 7A to be moved after item 8C. Can I get a second?
Seconded.
Thank you very much. All those in favor of approving the agenda as amended, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Ayes have it. Motion carries. I forgot to ask for discussion, so sorry. Next, we have the CCMHB and DDB schedules and updated MHB timeline on pages 3 through 7. We will probably get to some schedule changes later on that item 7A. So we any discussion or questions? Seeing none, we will move to CCMHB acronyms and glossary on pages 8 through 19. Any discussion? Seeing none, we will move to public participation and agency input. As always, all are welcome to attend the board's meeting to observe and offer thoughts during this time. I may limit public participation to 5 minutes per person and or 20 minutes total, and anyone who is in the room or on Zoom may either come to the podium, that's not really a podium, but the microphone up here, or raise your hand online to designate that you'd like to speak. Is there anybody who would like to speak tonight? All right, there is no one present in the room and no one on Zoom asking to speak, so we will move on. We will have more input time later in the evening. So next, we will move to chairperson's comments. So I'm Molly McClay, chair of the Champaign County Mental Health Board. I did want to mention this evening that we are saying goodbye. We have said goodbye to a board member, and we will be saying goodbye to another board member this evening, which maybe Lynn and I can jointly talk about with our comments. So first of all, Dr. Lisa Liggins Chambers has resigned from the board. We have appreciated her input and challenging us to do better, especially in making sure that services reach those in the community most in need, and we will miss her being on our board. I would also, and I will make space later for other board members to comment on those who are leaving as well. I'd also like to say goodbye to Jen Straub, who is our county board representative. She will be rotating off the county board tomorrow night, so this is her last meeting of the mental health board. Am I allowed to designate for Jen to make any comments that she wants to now? All right. Jen, would you like to share anything?
Thank you.
All right. I guess, can I open it for board discussion to my comments?
You have the power.
Okay, I can. I will briefly open for board discussion if any board members want to say anything about our members who have left or are leaving us. You may do so now.
Thank you.
Bye.
I guess I didn't say as much about Jen as I had planned to. because I was realizing I can defer to comments to you, but I've appreciated your wealth of knowledge on this community, both through being on the county board and your work in the community as well. You've been a great asset to our board, and I am sad that you are leaving us, but I'm glad to have gotten to work with you. Any other comments?
I think the truth is she's leaving the county board, not so much us, but that's my assumption. I don't know that as gospel from her, but I've sensed it.
We shall see. All right. Well, I will now, I guess I'll defer any other comments for the evening, given the length of the meeting. I may have more to say in our board announcements and input later, but I will move now to our executive director, Lynn Canfield's comments.
I will defer my comments.
All right. So we are moving right along. Maybe we didn't need to move that item in the agenda, but we have, so that's fine. So next we have approval of the CCMHB board meeting minutes. These are on pages 20 through 25 of the packet, minutes from the October 16th, 2024 study session, led by the illustrious Chris Miner, and our October 23rd, 2024 regular board meeting are included for approval. Any discussion or motions?
I move to accept the minutes as presented.
I'll second the motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the October 16, 2024 study session and October 23, 2024 meeting minutes as presented, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The minutes are accepted. Next, we have the vendor invoice lists on pages 26 through 37. Action is requested to accept the vendor invoice list and place them on file. And there's also some additional details for the expenditures included. Any discussion or motions?
I just wondered why page 26 has that one item on it. Is that in? How come?
So this is the only invoice paid out of the IDD Special Initiatives Fund during that month. So that's actually the complete report for the Special Initiatives Fund, and then 27 starts the Mental Health Board proper.
Any other discussion or motions? All right, seeing none, I will move to accept the vendor invoice lists as presented and place them on file. Can I get a second?
Second.
I don't know.
Chris? I'll second again.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of accepting the vendor invoice list and placing them on file, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The vendor invoice lists are accepted and placed on file. Next, we have the staff reports on pages 38 through 56 of the packet. So included for information only are reports from Kim Bowdry, Leon Bryson, Stephanie Howard Gallo, Chandra Somerville, and Chris Wilson. Any discussion on these staff reports?
How are the audits coming in?
So I think, you tell me if I'm wrong, that we've only received two so far, which is fine. They're not due till December 31st or soon to be December 30th. We received two. I reviewed them completely. shared my observations with Chris Wilson. He agreed with what I found. We're still waiting for our CPA consultant to chime in. No super bad findings, but there was follow-up needed for both, and the follow-up is not finished. But nothing to keep us from continuing to pay the two agencies.
And then the letters of suspension on page 45 that Stephanie was talking about for the agencies, that's just the quarterly reports. Yeah. Okay, and that's not a big deal, right?
And this, Leon, do you want to say what happened? Like, those letters went out, and then something happened, and it was a miracle.
So yeah, there were some issues with not requesting extensions for a deadline extension, and so the letters went out, and lo and behold, after a couple of emails, the reports were done. So we were able to get those all compiled, and the data is in this packet. So they did. The agencies did an outstanding job with getting their reports in.
Amazing to hear. Leon, I was also going to ask a question about your report because I saw that you were presenting at the Summit on Homelessness on November 12th. Would you share more about your presentation?
Sure. That so this was a the presentation was based on the Homelessness Summit in Champaign County. It was at the Champaign Public Library, and basically there were a number of agencies that are either working directly with a homeless population and or funding the agencies that are working with the population. And so I had an opportunity to just, you know, share a little bit of information about who we fund and how that works. Very interesting presentations there. It's sort of like everyone knows everyone that's at the table, and so it's just a matter of, you know, sharing resources, talking about the resources that exist, talking about the gaps in services that are out there, and how we can improve collaboration between the agencies. So pretty decent summit. This is the first one, so hopefully the next one will be a little bit better, a little more streamlined, but pretty good overall.
All right, thank you for sharing. Any other discussion on the staff reports?
I appreciated the trainings that Chandra put in her staff report.
I second that, but not an official second because we don't have an action item for this. Any other discussion? All right. Thank you, everyone, for submitting all this information. So next we will move to new business. And as we had amended the agenda earlier, item 7A will be dealt with later in the agenda. So we will next move to item 7B, which is the executive director contract. So the officers of the CCDDB and CCMHB have completed our executive director, Lynn Canfield's performance evaluation and negotiated a contract to retain her from January 1st, 2025 through December 31st, 2026. And on October 23rd, 2024, the CCDDB approved offering her this contract pending similar approval by our board. We were not able to approve it that day because we did not have a quorum at the time of this item in the agenda. So we do have a request. There is a potential motion that we could give regarding authorizing me, the president, to execute this contract with her. Lynn, I know you left the room last time, but I don't know if you need to.
Is it weirder for me to leave the room or stay in the room? Because it was weird to leave the room, too. I did that with the DD board, and they just laughed. But if you...
It'd be all right for you to stay.
Stay. Please stay.
All right, so any discussion or questions, because that was a lot of information.
I think it'd be really smart if you kept Lynn.
Only if she keeps bringing snacks.
Oh, not a quid pro quo arrangement. Any other thoughts?
Yeah, did that include a raise in salary?
Am I allowed to disclose that information? Yes, it did.
I mean, obviously, Lynn has done an amazing job over the time that she served over the board and given us guidance to make informed decisions and made really difficult decisions much more easier to navigate. And I think without her and the rest of the team, I think, you know, the board would be lost. And so I really appreciate everything that the staff does and everything that you do as well. So I really appreciate you, and I want you to stay on the as executive director for the board.
On a more serious comment, Lynn and the mental health board staff in general have a lot of respect from everyone, as far as countywide elected officials, as far as the county board in the community. You all have done a great job building a framework that is very well respected, and we are better as a county for the work that you do.
Could not agree more. Any other discussion or motions?
So this is a two-year contract, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
If there's no other discussion, I will make a motion for the CCMHB board chair to authorize or to execute the negotiated employment agreement with Lynn Canfield as our executive director from January 1, 2025 through December 31st, 2026.
Thank you very much. Can I get a second?
Second.
We have a number of seconds this evening. It's very popular. Any final discussion? All right, seeing none, we'll do a roll call vote. So the motion on the table is to authorize the CCMHB president to execute the negotiated employment agreement with Executive Director Lynn Canfield for the period of January 1st, 2025 through December 31st, 2026. Could I get a roll call vote?
Tony Nichols?
Yes.
Elaine Palencia?
Yes.
Jen Straub?
Enthusiastically, yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
Jean-Paul Joachim?
Yes.
Chris Miner?
Yes.
Molly McClay?
Yes. All right. The yeses have it. The contract is authorized for me to execute, whatever that means. Yes, I will sign. I will sign it. I also wrote a lot of the performance evaluation, and it was a joy to write because it was very easy.
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
That what you did on that got rave reviews this morning from the DDB officers. Just so you know.
Well, that is lovely to hear. All right, we are moving right along. We have three more items that need our action. So the next one is probably tied with the last as most important, which is the revised draft budgets for fiscal year 2025 on pages 62 through 70. We have a decision memorandum requesting approval of the revised draft 2025 CCMHB and IDD Special Initiatives Fund budgets. Lynn, would you like to share anything about these?
It's been so long since I wrote this, but there are very few changes this time around. The property tax revenue, as we have been fortunate for the last many years, the estimate went up from the initial estimate. It went from 3.5 to 5%. Then, unfortunately, and this it won't come as a surprise to anybody here, interest income is expected to decline, and I had overestimated interest revenues for all three of the funds. Even with that adjustment, the increased property tax revenue means that your overall revenues for 2025 are still higher in each of the three funds. That the special initiatives fund has to be adjusted because the plan is to use fund balance. So now we need to use a little bit more fund balance to cover the loss of interest income. So that's the only change, but because it's a change in what we will request from fund balance, we need to do that. And then the other changes have to do with Chris Wilson and I took a closer look at actual expenses right now. The cost of a lot of things have gone up, as you know. So we adjusted some of the usually very small lines anyway, adjusted them upward, and those are listed here. And then the rest of the money, there's also a lower amount needed for health insurance than what we originally estimated, but I think we left it alone because we don't know yet. But the rest of the increase went into contributions and grants, which is the money that you can spend on agency contracts. And that's typically what we do. Like, if there's any increase later, we try to put it all into that line to fund as much of the agency contracts as possible. So that's it.
All right, thank you. Any board discussion? Or motions? The motions are on page 63.
I would like to make a motion to approve the attached revised draft 2025 CCMHB budget with anticipated revenues and expenditures of $7,168,742.
Thank you. Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you very much. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, we will take a roll call vote on this. The motion on the table is to approve the attached revised draft 2025 CCMHB budget with anticipated revenues and expenditures of $7,168,742. Roll call, please.
Elaine Puencia?
Yes.
Jen Straub?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
Jean-Paul Joachim?
Yes.
Chris Miner?
Yes.
Tony Nichols?
Yes.
Molly McClay?
Yes. All right. The motion passes. The revised draft 2025 CCMHB budget is approved. Next, would anyone like to move to approve the additional item, the IDD special initiatives budget?
I'll make a motion to approve the attached revised draft 2025 IDD Special Initiatives Fund budget with anticipated expenditures of $239,063, with equal revenues including transfer of $233,063 from fund balance. Use of this fund is consistent with the terms of the intergovernmental agreement between the CCMHB and the CCDDB, which approved these changes on October 23rd of 2024.
Thank you for taking that very long motion. Can I get a second?
Seconded.
All right, any final discussion? All right, seeing none, there is a motion on the table to approve the attached revised draft 2025 IDD Special Initiatives Fund budget with anticipated expenditures of $239,063 with equal revenues, including transfer of $233,063 from fund balance. Use of this fund is consistent with the terms of the intergovernmental agreement between the CCMHB and CCDDB, which approved these changes on October 23rd, 2024. Can I get a roll call?
Jean-Paul Joachim?
Yes.
Chris Miner?
Yes.
Tony Nichols?
Yes.
Elaine Puencia?
Yes.
Jen Straub?
Yes.
Jane Sprandel?
Yes.
Molly McClay?
Yes. All right. The motion to approve the draft 2025 IDD Special Initiatives Fund budget passes. So next, we will move to the CCMHB strategic plan with objectives for 2025 on pages 71 through 84. There's a decision memorandum seeking board approval of the attached strategic plan with draft objectives for fiscal year 2025. Lynn, would you share more about this?
Oh, sorry. So similar to the next one, the initial draft was presented at your September meeting, and it did use input from board members from prior meetings and through a survey. And then it also we also had gotten quite a bit of agency input through an email that Mr. Bryson sent out just requesting help on plans and priorities. So since then, since your September meeting, it's been open for public input. It was all the way through October. We didn't get a lot, but the comments that you received during the study sessions, the two study sessions, we felt like, you know, kind of affirmed a lot of the direction that had already been set by earlier comments. Mm-hmm. So it was okay with me that we didn't end up making a lot of changes. But there are a few changes. They are highlighted in there. But the first one has to do with elevating some of the advocacy efforts related to workforce development. That came from a board member. And then also introducing the term undervalued, where we've been using under-resourced or underrepresented. It's not always a perfect descriptor, but we thought it might be good to start saying that as well, that undervalued might be more true for some of the people who don't get services who we're trying to reach. So that's only in one place, but it was just, you know. Anyway, those changes should be highlighted, I think. Leanne, did we? Yeah, there they are. There's the first one. And then I think we put the second one in green. It was toward the end. So you could distinguish between the first set of revisions and then these later ones. Oh, I guess I put it in yellow. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry. I blew it.
That is all right. Any discussion on the strategic plan with 2025 objectives?
Yeah. Just little things. On page 74, this is a small editorial point, but in the last paragraph on that page, to accomplish these purposes, the Champaign County Mental Health Board must collaborate with public and private sectors. Must is a word that often implies obligation, but not actual action. And if so, I wonder if we could say shall. It's small, but, you know, if people are going to parse these things. And my other question was just you have a couple of objectives that have been for Objective 2.7 and Objective 3.5 have been taken out entirely, and I wondered if that was because they had been met or they're no longer relevant, or why were those taken out?
The first one has been met. Thank you for asking that question. The objective that Mrs. Palencia is referring to is about revising the demographic data categories, and we just did it, and we've only had one quarterly report using those categories, so we can't say yet if they're problematic enough to revise them again. And I would say we should give it a year to see if those categories are more helpful to the board in future. I mean, the purpose is for informing the next round of planning, so we'll find out, but it will take a year. So let's take it out of the plan now and put it back in if you discover that we need to revise them again. Then the second one was not met, but it was also we found that we had no way to do this. I think we put some language like this into the priorities memo, and then once it's in the priorities memo, it's kind of up to providers to respond, saying that they do or don't have capacity to do things like this. This just looked like a better strategy for this community, but it hasn't really taken off. So I thought it has been in there for a while, and it just wasn't, nothing was happening. So I thought we'd just move it over to priorities and see.
Well, there are a couple more, but basically Tim, I think it's just objective. I'm getting confused with the gray and the line through. I think those were the only two that were completely taken out. So thank you for that explanation.
So to clarify, Elaine, are you there's one amendment that you're asking for and not the other two items are just clarification points? Okay. Any other discussion? No, I said any other discussion and my mic wasn't on.
Could I make a motion to approve the attached draft strategic plan for fiscal years 2022 to 2025 with fiscal year 2025 objectives?
I'll second that.
So the motion and second did not include the amendment. Do we want to make a motion that includes an amendment? And if so, do we need to decline this motion and then do the next motion?
I can just accept a friendly amendment if somebody wants to make that.
Sorry, my understanding is that Ms. Palencia has asked for to amend on page 74 at the last paragraph to amend the statement to say, to accomplish these purposes, the Champaign County Mental Health Board shall collaborate.
Yes.
We'll just add on to that with the suggested amendments.
All right. Do we need a re-second?
Second.
All right. Sorry. This is getting into Parley Pro that I don't understand, but I'll be studying up on it. All right. And so the motion on the table is to approve the attached draft strategic plan for fiscal years 2022 to 2025 with fiscal year objectives as amended. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the attached draft strategic plan for fiscal years 2022 to 2025 with fiscal year objectives, fiscal year 2025 objectives as amended, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The motion that I probably botched carries. All right. The next item on the agenda and our last action item is the CCMHB PY26 funding priorities on pages 85 through 100. And we have a decision memorandum presenting the funding priorities and decision support criteria for program year 2026. That motion, suggested or possible motion, is listed on page 100. Lynn, would you share more about this?
This is the other document that was introduced at the board September meeting and had already used pretty substantial input from agency representatives and from board members. So then it sat for comment till the end of October, and we didn't receive a lot of comment, but we did, you know, we learned a lot in those two study sessions and tried to use from that and also from things that board members have been talking about. So the bottom of page 85 shows what the revisions are. We've got summarizing input from the advocates, because we didn't add all of it into this document. We did add quite a lot of it into the DD board's priorities document, but it's sprinkled in here too. Using the word undervalued in one place, where we have been saying underrepresented or under-resourced. Then trying to zoom in a little bit more on this question of how do people with lived experience or lived expertise actually impact the programs, whether whether defining the services that they receive or providing services or serving on a governing board that defines the agency program. So just kind of that is something we want to know more about in the coming applications. So we tried to define that more clearly in one of the sections on criteria for best value. And then the other, I think this is a not continuation of services, is maybe the last one of the criteria for best value. And we think, like, although there could well be another public health emergency which challenges services to continue, it seemed like that's really shifted over to, like, how can technology help, you know, how can technology expand access to the services or be a service? And then that sort of covers it if there's another public health emergency. So that was really just a different title, just to kind of represent, like, it's been a few years now since the sheltering in place. So that's it. That's a lot fewer changes than we might have expected to make.
All right. Thank you very much. Any board discussion?
If there is no other discussion, I make a motion to approve the CCMHB program year 2026 allocation priorities and decision support criteria as described in this memorandum.
All right. I second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Any final discussion? All right. Seeing none. There is all those in favor of approving the CCMHB program year 2026 allocation priorities and decision support criteria as described in this memorandum, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The motion to approve the program year 2026 allocation priorities and decision support criteria is approved. And that... we still have quite a bit of meeting, but those are all of our action items. We got through them all, and we will thus not probably hopefully need to have a December meeting. So yay, everyone. I'm going to give us a round of applause because it's only 6:24.
May I make a comment?
Sure.
I am so grateful. I mean, I've been making lots of safety net plans for if something has to be dramatically changed or if you're not able to approve it, what I'm going to do next. I love it when I prepare for a crisis and it doesn't happen. So thank you very much.
I know for a fact that Lynn booked this room for, like, every Wednesday from, like, now through December 18th in case we needed to have another meeting. So I'm pretty glad. We can still discuss that at the end. But, thank you, Lynn, for making contingency plans and helping me think through how we could amend the agenda if necessary, which we did do. So with that, we will move to the item that has been moved down in the agenda, which is item 7A, the PY 2026 application review process. And this is on a memo on pages 57 through 61. It's for information only. It includes a briefing memorandum on the process for reviewing applications for funding and a sample review checklist. So, Lynn, please share more about this, if you're willing to.
So this is just an explanation of the structure that we have used traditionally and how it would apply in the coming months. It's none of it has to be this way, and I don't even think you have to take any particular action to change it. You just let me know what is going to best support your review of applications, and we will make the changes. I did make some changes. The important part to me is the process timeline, because we have, no matter how many applications are submitted and how complicated they are, we don't get more staff to review them. And March is kind of similar to November in that, you know, people get sick, things happen. So we've had a lot of spring seasons where we were down a man. So I want to be very careful about staff time. So I did make a few changes to make sure that we would be able to deliver, even if it's a lot to deliver. So February 10 is the deadline for applications that we have stated over and over again. There isn't a notice of funding availability, so if we need to change it and not have February 10, we can. Our plan is to put that notice of funding availability into the Sunday newspaper and the Wednesday newspaper now that you have approved funding priorities. So the whole procurement process is clear, approved, and can be shared publicly as the NOFA goes out. So the Sunday and Wednesday papers, and then any other places that Stephanie Howard Gallo thinks of to place it, maybe the Daily Illini, certainly on both of our websites. And by when we place that, that's the application deadline we're committing to. So February 10, if you're okay with it, then everything else flows from that. You have a board meeting just a week later, so it's not enough time for me to do a whole lot, but we will be able to bring you a list of the applications either in the packet or as an addendum. So you'll be able to see how many applications were successfully submitted, the program names, and the amounts. And that's, you know, sometimes that's a lot to know, and it's helpful because we might even be able to kind of ballpark how much of this is affordable, which I think is on everyone's mind from the beginning. So then you might take that February meeting as an opportunity to talk about what any of the specific requests. You might say, is this just a continuation of the program we've funded for 20 years that we love, you know, or don't have concerns about? Those kind of questions, like, we may be able to answer or have agencies present who can answer, yes, we just, it's the same program you've been funding for 20 years, no, you know, no compliance issues. So, and I just don't know, like, this is up to you all, what you want to do with that time, but it would be the first opportunity that you could ask anything specific. Then on the 19th, that's a regular board meeting, you could do that again, you could again discuss the process or any specifics about applications that people might already know the answers to, or we might then as staff send questions out. We can start doing that at any time. April 9 is when we would hope to have all those program summaries finished and made available to you and the public. So that's really kind of our last day to put those together, because then you have meetings for the following, you have a meeting the following week, which is April 16. I moved us off of April 23rd because that's Holocaust Remembrance Day. It's also the first day of the Ebert Fest. And then you would have, so you would have April 16 as a study session and April 30th as a regular board meeting to finish looking at any of the staff summaries that you didn't get to and talking about any of the applications. So those are the two meetings where you do the board review, which is something you all have given some really great input and ideas about how to structure that. April 30th, because it's a business meeting, we'll also have business items. So I want to say, if there is a need for another, for a third meeting, we can absolutely add meetings. But then the next important deadline is May 14. We need to have written staff recommendations ready to share with you and the public so that you can then start discussing whether those recommendations make sense for you. And you will have a study session May 21. So you'd have a week to look at the recommendations, then discuss at that study session. There may be other questions that need to be answered, but with 1 week till the regular meeting, that's kind of a tricky turnaround time for very much content. So these might not be perfect timeframes. Might need to go to an early June meeting instead, because that'll also have some regular business items. And then our goal is to have your decisions by June, because it takes us a while to develop the contracts and to talk to the agencies individually about what's expected and what's possible. There are some things we might need to negotiate with them. And we want all of the contracts to be finalized, signed and on file so that people can start getting paid at the beginning of July. And that's sometimes really quite it looks easy at the beginning. It just gets really thorny sometimes. Anyway, so that's it. And then I attached that checklist that has been used the last several years. This is not updated for the next year. It's just a sample. Anyway, there's other stuff in there.
All right. Thank you, Lynn. And I just wanted to add that, you know, as you all know, Lynn and I spoke with each of you, so we spoke with every board member about feedback that you have for how the process has gone in the past or things you'd like to suggest for this year, and we're still synthesizing that feedback. So more things that have come from those conversations will be discussed in the new year in our earlier meetings prior to engaging with the application. So I just wanted to mention that all the time that you spent talking to us one-on-one, no meetings, did not go like unheard or forgotten or anything like that. So with that, is there any board discussion on this information?
I guess I had a couple like questions, comments, or whatever, and I'm looking forward to what you guys gained from those meetings, because I'm very interested to know what some of my peers said, because I was pretty honest about how things have been done the last few years and ways I felt we could be more observant of each other's time and definitely our staff's time. So on 58, I just kind of noticed that, you know, board questions and concerns may be shared with staff at any time or posed during meetings or study sessions. I know in my session with these ladies, you know, it makes better sense to email those to Lynn, not just any staff. Send them to Lynn. She'll delegate who can answer the question. And then we're not also like putting Lynn or another staff member on the spot in a public session. So I thought that was kind of a thing that I kind of talked about, and I thought they too were like, yeah, that makes sense, you know. And then, you know, under expectations and considerations, you know, when I was reading this, I wrote, you know, it's very time consuming. We need to be respectful of staff time, but also each other's time. You know, we like to harass Chris over there, but, you know, I've heard him say several times, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I thought it was. And so I don't ever think we should rubber stamp things. I don't think we should ever hustle through stuff. But I think there are some ways to streamline some of our conversations. So thank you.
Any other discussion?
Okay. All right. I'll say something. Well, this is just a comment on the review template, which I'm very glad to see. And I just, on the best value considerations, there's a line that says, are other resources identified and leveraged? And one little phrase that has been used in the past that I miss here is pair of last resort. And we are the pair of last resort, and we should not forget that. So I'm going to add that to that little part of what I look at.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Any other discussion? Elaine, I'm trying to find on the template where that part.
It's right here. The
okay, at the very. Yep, yeah, there we go. Thank you. I'm just making
right,
a note myself.
Right, because it's not just about did they look for other things, but that we are the payer of last resort. They have to find. There's nothing that will pay for what they want to ask us for.
Very important point. Any other thoughts from board members?
I mean, I think I talked with you guys about it already, but, you know, this next year is going to be a more difficult decision-making year, and I think I've already, I think I made it known that if you're late on the audits, if you're late on submitting the application, I think that is going to place those applications further down on prioritizing funding them over other agencies that are on top of everything.
Seconded.
Yeah, I think along those lines, sort of, you know, making sure that, you know, every application that we're considering has actually met all of those requirements, including, you know, providing some of this information. It's important to me. I'm hearing it's important to others. So it's definitely something to consider. And were you going to add something?
I'm taking notes.
All right. Any final thoughts from anyone?
Just a really quick question. Lynn, generally they actually get their submissions, the applications in on time. It's audits we have problems, right? We don't extend deadlines for submissions, do we?
My first year on the board, there were several agencies that had like some problems with the application system or some other emergency, and we did allow them to submit late. I don't know how often that had happened prior. Last year, that did not happen to my recollection. But I know that we had a lot of discussion on if we should have done that or not. Okay. So, and anyone else who was, you know, part of that or has any other comments on that, please feel free to chime in.
Not for exact numbers, but I think that would be indicative of being on time for the application, of if you're going to be on time for your audits. Do we have statistical data that shows us what percentage of people who apply late also do audits late?
Well, the underneath the audit lateness was a system problem or two. So yes, there could be an intersection, you know, and I would say small agencies struggle the most with all of that stuff. So, but those are also the agencies that tend to offer you really important locally focused valuable services. So the consideration for each individual late thing has often gotten down to that. Like, is this an organization who's doing work that we already value and trust? And we will try to fix this lateness issue, whether the audit thing was system, it took a long time to get underneath it. I don't know if it's totally solved. The change in the time frames for our applications correlated with 100% timely submission. That doesn't mean it caused it, right? So I can't.
So you're denying causality.
I am, because the times that there have been late applications, like the 1 year it was a system problem, which was that every agency had a new executive director and, like, you know, reasonably didn't understand how much was involved. So, right? Like, there were other reasons.
I'll take the technical difficulties, yeah, but not that you pay an executive director who doesn't know how to get an application in. I just break that up.
Thank
because
you.
If it's not technical issues, I'm immediately a no.
There are
if
some,
you're late,
we really
period.
Do have. It's not an expensive support, like that online system is not an expensive instrument. So we do have to be, you know, our staff are kind of constantly monitoring for glitches. So yes, that could be part of it too. And that's not what was happening with audits. Like they aren't relying on our glitchy stuff. So.
Thank you. I'm done.
Yeah, I'll just add, if I recall, at least for some of the agencies that were late in 2022, some of them did not have audit problems. There, I think, were some that did. But I remember one was like they had a gas leak in the building. But at the same time, like...
They had 5 weeks.
Right. Like, it's not like the application system is only open on the last day. Like, there is time to enter this prior to that. So, but I also know that there was some sort of maybe more flexibility extended during COVID. And yeah. Any other thoughts from anyone?
Well, and I think, not to beat a dead horse, I think we have kind of put in a couple other safeguards. I believe at one time they used to be due on a Friday, and now I think we have them due, like, on Wednesday.
Yes.
So, like, staff Monday. Is available.
It's a Monday, but yes.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
And also the fact that, if I'm understanding correctly, like, staff will even be like, hey, remember, this is due next week. any questions. So it's almost like we're holding their hand to the finish line. So
no, we don't do that part.
Oh, we don't. That's, well, let's not.
No,
but
we don't.
But yeah, I mean, they know that they can use us as a resource, and I think that's important. And so, yes, I too am like, you missed the deadline. I'm sorry.
So I think the other thing is, you know, like we said with the pandemic, but I think we take things on a case-by-case basis, and it depends on the track record of the agency. If this is a chronic issue with some agencies, then there's going to be less leniency. Obviously, during the pandemic, we gave a lot more, and I think that is done. So obviously, we'll have to still take it by a case-by-case basis, but I think that's where most of us stand.
Oh, go ahead, Lynn.
So we do kind of, I'm gonna call out Stephanie Howard Gallo. She is the keeper of the records. And we usually, in these program summaries, are just telling you about compliance issues within the most recent year, not 10 years. But if that type of information were interesting to you, or just in regard to one or two agencies, or only if there's some compliance issue this year, would you want to know about prior years?
Okay. So I think if there is a compliance issue during the current, or if there's a, if the application is late, or there's audit issues with the current application, I'd want to know about previous history of the agency with our board, so that we can make more of an informed decision when we're trying to triage and stratify who we're funding and who we're not.
Thank you, everyone. Any last words? All right. Thank you, everyone, for that discussion. We will now move on to back onto our regularly scheduled agenda for item 8D, which is evaluation capacity building project update. So we will have an update from members of our evaluation team. Come on up to the mic and turn it on.
All right. Good evening, everyone. Lovely to see you today. All right. So I will give a quick overview and let me know if you have any questions. So we have been doing ongoing technical assistance with 4 agencies, and that's going really well. I think I've even gotten some people excited about surveys, maybe. I'm hopeful. Tomorrow we are doing a program outcomes workshop, and so we're excited about that. We have about 23 people registered, and that's representing 15 agencies the last time I checked. And we have an ongoing working group, and they've been giving feedback on things like the outline for the workshop, so making sure that things make sense and that it's relevant and as useful as possible. And then our associate director, Dr. Nathaniel Underland, has been continuously working on micro-learning. So there's always one in the oven ready to go. So that's a very high-level overview, and I'm happy to answer any additional questions you have.
You said you work with 4 organizations. Are you allowed to say which ones they are?
Am I? Yeah, I'm working with 3 programs at DSC, and so that's DSC Workforce, Employment, and Connections. And then we provide a technical assistance with the Boys and Girls Club. I'm blanking on the program name.
CU Change?
Yes, CU Change. And so we finished up, we did a really rapid survey process with them ending in August, and I haven't heard how it's going so far, but I plan to follow up soon.
And do we keep track of who's taking advantage of these things? Because that is kind of, okay, that's, that'd be nice to know during funding, like this org actually wants, Mel, okay.
Oh, yes, yes.
Thank you. Last year, I think we made sure to note if people had taken advantage of the support, and maybe the year before that, we also had this bookkeeping support or accounting support project. We're trying to make sure you have that information in those program summaries.
Yeah, and these programs have been wonderful to work with, so it's been fun, I think.
Any idea? You said that there's always a micro learning kind of ready to go or in the hopper. I don't remember exactly what you said.
Yeah,
but
I think that's the correct phrase, but not in the oven.
in the idea oven, as I've often said, not in these meetings, but at other places. Do you have any idea of what some of the micro-learnings coming down the lane might be?
Yes, so we have one that's being edited right now that's going through the process of developing a logic model, and that one's a little bit lengthier because we go through the whole process with actually a member of one of our working group. And then we will have coming up one on qualitative, quantitative, and mixed methods approaches, and that one will be quite a bit shorter and just going over what those different forms of data look like. And then I believe there's going to be some on storytelling, digital storytelling, then Nate will be leading those in the springtime. So those are some of the things we have coming up.
All right, thank you. Any other board discussion? All right, seeing none, thank you very much for the update. We always enjoy hearing from you and appreciate your work.
Thank you for your time.
All right, next we will move to Disability Resource Expo update. So the Disability Resource Expo was on October 26, 2024. So we will hear from Lynn and whoever you would like to designate to share more about how the expo went.
I would designate Mrs. Jane Sprandel, Chandra Somerville, and Kim Bowdry if she's still available, and anybody else who was there. I do want to point out that I purchased this beautiful necklace from one of the artists and spent every bit of cash that I had left and also went on the credit card because the stuff was so cool. So just so you know, don't miss their next art show.
I guess I will begin. So I took a different approach this year. Usually I get on the volunteer sheet and say I'm going to do X, Y, or Z. This year I went in kind of just as a mental health board member. So what I did is I spent the entire day, which was so worth it. I went to every booth. I talked to every vendor. Many of them are folks who get funding from us, introduced myself, said that I was on the mental health board. I was thankful that they were there. And so many people were thankful that we offer this opportunity to be out in the community. And again, because sometimes I question, you know, can we do other things with some of that money? I mean, I'll admit it. You know, I think that there's a lot of expos out there, so I wonder if we need to continue ours. But the fact that so many of the exhibitors loved being out there and with folks was wonderful. I heard lots of great praise about Allison and Dylan and their organization of the event, so that was good. Again, we have not had our wrap-up meeting yet, so I don't know how, like, the survey results came back or anything like that. I don't know if we've got any. It's hard when you're at the mall on how many people came through. I think Kim thought maybe numbers were down just a little bit, so I'm not sure what we based that on. Again, it was a non-Illinois football weekend, or at least not a home game. And so it was right before Halloween, there was all kinds of Halloween things happening. And so, again, Champaign-Urbana is a place where there's something to do everywhere. So that could have hurt our attendance a little bit. But yeah, I think overall it was a great event. Like Lynn said, the artists were wonderful. They had beautiful things. It was just overall a really good day. I think it was good to see people come out and see the resources that are available to everyone.
All right, thank you. I know Lynn mentioned that Chandra and or Kim, she would be interested in having you share. If either of you or both of you would like to, and if not, that's okay.
Yeah, I don't have much else to share. Jane did mention that I noted that it seemed like we had fewer people in attendance. I know that 650 attendee bags were made, and I know that we did not go through a lot of those. So I do know that attendance was down. I'm not sure on actual numbers, but numbers were down, but the event, it still went really well. So Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, and for all of your hard work as well. It's Chandra here and wanting to share.
Yeah, just something to add to it. Just regarding volunteer recruitment, we're going to have to do a different job of making sure we have enough people at the end of the day to help pack up. And also to let you know, I was on a panel discussion at the Advancing Equity in our community, and I talked about the Disability Resource Expo being sponsored by the Mental Health Board and Developmental Disabilities Boards. And what makes this unique is that it is actually people living with disabilities planning the event for disability resources, which is very unique regarding other events that are happening in the community. So, yes, we speak of many events, resource fairs, but I do not believe that there is one that is actually targeted for people living with disabilities planned by people living with disabilities. Thank you.
Thank you for very much for all your work and for highlighting that, because while I don't think it should be unique, I understand that it is. I also wanted to mention, I saw a community group that's organizing who utilized the resource guide from the Disability Resource Expo in their materials to offer to fellow community members. So I just wanted to share that example of the resources being promoted more widely in the community. Does anybody else have any other comments they'd like to share?
I would never make Stephanie Howard Gallo talk at a board meeting other than roll calls, but she is the person who organizes the artists, and sometimes that's a lot. So I'm personally really grateful for that, because that's where I get all my stuff. But so I don't know if Stephanie wants to say anything, but I just wanted to say thank you to her for that.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add, but thanks, Lynn.
Yeah, thank you very much, Stephanie, and thank you to everybody for all of your work on this. So with that, we will move on to our next item. We're getting close to the end. PY 2025, Quarter 1 Funded Program Service Reports. These are on pages 101 to 147 of the packet. And Lynn and or Leon or anyone want to share?
I would like Leon to take some credit for this. I'm going to put it on the screen because the agencies created these, so sure, they deserve credit. And these are beautiful, lots of great comments. But take it away, Leon.
The agencies did the hard work. They got their reports in on time. As we talked about earlier, there was a couple stragglers, but they got their stuff together. And it just made things a lot easier for me to compile all of this data together and put in one large report for you to read. And so we appreciate every agency getting their work in on time. It just made things a lot easier for us as staff.
Yeah, thank you very much to all of you on the staff and the agencies for getting this in and seeing like all, just to make sure I understand, first time ever, all of the programs have reports in the packet, which is phenomenal. And I am understanding that Leon was a huge part of why that was able to happen. So special shout out to Leon. Any board discussion about anything in the reports or any questions, comments?
I always appreciate when they leave comments, and I really like got a snicker out of on page 105 with the Champaign County Healthcare Consumers. They were talking about the reality of applying for disability and things like that. And I've shared before that I'm in the process of helping my sister with that. And the idea of they're grossly understaffed. And I think she made some comment about sending paperwork. And I'm like, amen, amen, amen. Because again, this is, you know, I'm not able to use this service because my sister's not in Champaign County, but it's a stressful, stressful thing to apply for disability. And I met one of the ladies who helps individuals with this, and I gave her a hug. I was like, man, I'm in the trenches. And she gave me a few like tips and things like that, because the reality is, you've probably said it, there's a phrase about keeping people where they are, because we're not helping them. We're keeping them where they are. And that's really sad. And I was thankful of their honesty about this is a tough haul. And so again, Leon, I know sometimes our people are on the line. The more comments, I want them to be real. I love knowing what their struggles are, because we need to know that so we can also advocate. I know that Linda's a lot of advocating of saying, here's what the reality is, legislators, you know, what's going on in our community.
Thank you very much. Any other discussion?
Can you just clarify? When it says first quarter PY25. From what period to what period are these reports from?
The quarters are July 1 through September 30th is the first quarter, then October 1 through December 31st is the second quarter. The third quarter is January 1st through, it's not April 30th, is it? I'm dreaming. It's March 31st. Yes. And then April 1st through June 30th is the fourth quarter. So these service reports are not cumulative. These are, you're only seeing the numbers of new people served. On the first quarter, you see whoever continued from the prior year plus new people. Then every quarter from now, you'll only see new people. Financial reports are cumulative, but we are not presenting you with those. We're just monitoring them for changes that might not have been expected.
So when it says, like quarterly data, that's basically from July 1st to the end of September.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I just want to add, like, as a pediatrician, I have sent a lot of kids to Promise Healthcare, and it's been great. Like, they have done a fantastic job. And if you look on page 134, like, their quarterly data for, service contacts. They had 2,530 appointments kept with a psychiatrist for Champaign County residents with an annual target of 3,200.
Did you say 134?
134, yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
They're not the only, there are, I think, maybe four programs that are giving you total program data. So that's not the slice you're paying for. That's the whole thing. But still, I mean, your point is well taken. This is true for a couple of other agencies, too, and it's not really obvious. We've asked to have program-only data, like the what is the mental health board actually paying for only, and they're not reporting it that way. They're not the only one that's doing that. But it's still helpful to see the volume. I mean, because you're talking about the contribution to the community, but if we're talking about the value to the mental health board, we need to go deeper and find out, like, exactly how many people.
Okay.
And that's not something they've told us.
That target is not inclusive of all of the people, right? So the annual target and the quarterly data don't correlate to each other then?
I think that what we've asked them to do this year is the first time ever that I think they're showing us this in other. They're showing us the people. Is this right? The people who had no other pay source and are therefore the ones the mental health board is uniquely paying for, but they still wanted to show the volume of service of the total program. So other is the mental health board only. I'm sorry, what you're asking about a different thing.
So it says for service contacts, right? The annual target was 3,200. And they said 2,530 kept appointments with psychiatrists by Champaign County residents.
Oh, gosh. Leon, are they still doing separate reports for psychiatry and counseling? So I was just looking at the wrong page. Okay. Yeah.
So on page 133, there is that.
That was the counseling, and this is psychiatry. Okay. Yeah, I think there's still, I think the service contact data is still for the total program. And the piece that's...
Is our annual target still 3,200?
Mm-hmm.
And is that quarterly data, like, is that accurate to then assess, are they meeting that annual target? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, it looks like they're going to exceed the target
quickly. That's what I'm saying. So they'll probably get, like, 10,000, 9,000 service contacts.
I think that's right. Like, if they could do that in a quarter when they're fully staffed, that's what they can do in a quarter.
So then they're doing an amazing job.
And maybe they set the target low because of staffing, you know, some turnover in the program. But, yeah, you're right. It's on track.
I remember when we talked with them, they had three nurse practitioners and two MDs for psychiatric access.
On board already,
And then their counseling was about 2-week wait. And I have sent a lot of kids for counseling there, too, and they've had a really good experience. So
I was confused. I was looking at the wrong one.
So for page 133, they had 850 service contacts that kept the appointments with counselors. So they're doing a good job on both the counselors and psychiatrists. So.
And they are subdividing the data in a way that makes it easier to understand what's going on. So that's also shout out. And then the other program, their other program, wellness, is, I believe that is 100% mental health board funding. If there are other funds for it, they're not as substantial as Medicaid reimbursement. Yeah.
All right. Any other questions or comments about the quarterly reports?
I have one quick question. So we're still on Promise Healthcare. On 135, and each one of their things, they show all of the contacts they've made outside their building. In the past, have they always went to this many open houses with schools and stuff? Because that's phenomenal.
I know. I think this might be new outreach. Leon, you have your finger on the thing. Go ahead.
No, I think this is a new direction they're going in. So we've encouraged them to include the work that they're doing in the comments because it'll give us a better picture of what's really going on. So
there's also been some effort to, you know, like old school, like advertising that is actually, I think, helping a lot. But this is really nice to see because it also tends to lead to collaboration, which is, that's great.
So I actually have a question about Courage Connection on page 113. Or maybe it's just a comment. They're, you know, sort of what I would expect to be below target for most of their areas. And I'm particularly concerned about that because October was Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and there were only 8 community service events, even though their annual target is 200. And the other thing that I was concerned about is that the only comment is that 57 clients received 165.25 hours of counseling services, which averages to 2.9 hours of counseling per person, which... and my knowledge of domestic violence does not seem like enough. Now, I understand that sometimes people present for counseling and they only come one time. It may be inclusive of a variety of different things besides like our 1-hour long counseling. But I was concerned that these numbers seemed so low, especially since Domestic Violence Awareness Month is a time when there's often, you know, because there's increased awareness of the issue, there are sometimes more people reaching out for help. So I guess I wanted to start with Lynn and Leon, if there's any context that you have for this.
I think just from my conversations with the agency, part of the challenge has been the turnover. I think they lost their, I don't think, I know, they lost their... director of their grants management office. And so that kind of turned the agency upside down quite a bit. The database was, I think, a little out of whack at some point, too. And so they are now trying to right the ship. And so I'm keeping a close eye on what that looks like. But that's the information that was given to me.
Yeah, thank you for adding that context. Lynn, was there anything you wanted to add or no? Okay. I just wanted to point that out and try to find out a little bit more. Thank you. Any other comments? All right, seeing none, we will move to our second portion of public participation and agency input. As always, I have the authority to limit individual participation to 5 minutes and or total time to 20 minutes. So if there's anybody in person or on Zoom, please either approach the microphone or raise your hand on the Zoom. Is there anybody who would like to share? Seeing none, we will move on to board-to-board reports. So as always, board members are able to go and attend agency board meetings as well as other boards in the community. And if you're interested in partaking in that, you can reach out to Stephanie Howard Gallo. Are there any board members or staff members who would like to share any board-to-board reports? I guess I don't. Lynn, would the Massey Commission count during this portion?
I'd say go ahead. Okay. There's also board announcements and input.
Okay. Well, I guess we were speaking to a board, and I would like Lynn to share a little bit more because I kind of got added on last minute. But so in Springfield, there is currently a commission that is organized of community members who are responding to the murder of Sonia Massey this summer by police officers. And they are working on kind of working through a number of items of how to address a variety of different things, including systemic racism and mental health in the community, and to try to prevent these kinds of situations from happening in the future. One thing that this commission had taken up was to discuss if they would like to recommend to the Sangamon County Board to have a referendum item around establishing the Sangamon County Mental Health Board. So Lynn was invited to come and speak to that, and Lynn ended up adding me to speak to it also because I am from Sangamon County. So we spoke to them on Monday evening. I had asked Lynn to share more, but the commission did vote to recommend to the Sangamon County Board to put forth a referendum to establish their own mental health board. Did I say that correctly? Yeah. There was one person who voted no, but everybody else voted yes, and it was interesting. Lynn, did you want to share anything about this at all?
The best part to me was the public comments at the end, which were so real. And they also, the public comments included consideration of this CESA implementation. And these people, these Massey commissioners are ready to talk about that, to talk about what an appropriate response should look like. So I started to connect them to the organizers of the regional advisory committees in case they're not already. They could already be, but none of them talked about it at all. So I think they're not. So I think this is one of those things where sometimes you don't even know what's going on in your own backyard, and they are desperately needed by the planners of the regional advisory committees. So that was my big takeaway, is like, oh, great, they can get a mental health board, but right now they can impact the law before it goes into effect. So fingers crossed.
Definitely. Thank you for sharing. Are there any other board-to-board reports? All right, seeing none. Next, we move to county board input. Jen, would you like to share anything on your last county board input of the mental health board?
I would. As you know, the public safety sales tax didn't pass for our county, and there's not going to be any huge lump sums of rescue money like ARPA coming from the feds anytime soon, which means that some hard choices are going to have to be made for the next county board, likely meaning cuts to a lot of the really fun things we've gotten to fund in the last couple of years. And by fun, I mean super important and feel good, which means that the work that you all are doing on the mental health board will be harder, but also more important to our county. So keep at it. Also, if you're bored, we're meeting again tomorrow night right here.
Thank you very much. Next, we have Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board input. Lynn, is there anything you want to share?
No.
Okay. All right. Two more items. Board announcements and input. Does any board members have anything that you would want to share or discuss that we haven't yet? All right. I have something that I want to say that I didn't say earlier, because I hadn't fully formulated it, and I guess deferred presidential comments. So I just wanted to say, as a therapist, I've been hearing a lot about the election, and people I work with have had a variety of feelings and stressors related to it and what could be coming in the future. And I know many of us here may have similar feelings, so I just want to state, as a board member and as a community member, that I am committed to helping protect and support the mental health of all of our community members, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what your identities are. You are welcome here, and your mental health is my priority. Anyone else? All right, seeing no further announcements or input from the board, our last item is to adjourn. We do have a listed tentative December 18th meeting, but given that we got through all of our business this evening, I'd like to recommend that we don't have that meeting. Is there any, we don't have to do a motion or a second, but any discussion on it? Anybody really want to have that December 18th meeting? All right, I will say it's officially canceled, and with that, our meeting this evening is adjourned. We will see you on January 22nd, 2025, believe it or not, right back here in hopefully this room. Have a good night, everyone.
Recording stopped.